We turn once again to the prophecy of Isaiah at chapter 42, looking this evening at verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. As we come before God's word, we remain seated and look to him for help. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this book is so common to us, and its contents are so familiar to us also. But take away the hardness of our hearts, and that would cause us to come to thy word with a lack of fear, of reverence and humility. And as we stand before thee through the medium of Holy Scripture, remind us once again that we stand before the law of the living God. Help us to see beyond the human to the divine. Help us to see beyond the literature to the law, and so solemnize our hearts. We are incapable of doing it ourselves. Do it for us through thy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this church, we believe in the whole Bible. Some churches don't, but we do. And we do it for this simple reason. All of the Bible, both the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, all of the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. And so the risen Jesus, as he meets the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he begins to unveil himself to them. And we are told that using Moses and the prophets, he tells them all that they needed to know about himself. All of the scripture is about Jesus. It will therefore not surprise you to know that the prophecy of Isaiah is also all about Jesus, who he is and what he came to do. But there are four chapters, particularly in Isaiah, that speak plainly and directly about the Lord Jesus Christ. And technically, they are called the Servant Songs. You will find them in Isaiah 42, in Isaiah 49 and 50, and then again in the second part of Isaiah 52 and in Isaiah chapter 53. These are called the servant songs because they are direct prophecies concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And here in chapter 42 and verse 1, the prophet begins with the word, behold. There is a tone of surprise in that word. There is a call to attention in that word, behold. And there is the importance of that word, because in chapter 41, Isaiah has been speaking about the servant of God, and there he has been speaking about the people of Israel as the nation who is the servant of Jehovah. But here, there is a change in metaphor. There is a distinctly different note of emphasis. The servant is no longer a people, it is now a person. And the servant is no longer a nation, it is now an individual. And we know from the New Testament, where these words are quoted, that this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Behold, he says, my servant whom I uphold. My servant. And throughout the Old Testament, this is almost always used for a person who is called by God to be an instrument to accomplish God's own purposes. An instrument in God's hands to accomplish God's holy purposes. And here in the description of the Lord Jesus Christ, God speaks of Jesus as my servant, God's chosen instrument to accomplish God's holy purposes in this world and for his people. Behold my servant. But he is my servant whom I uphold. It is God who keeps the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God who sustains him. It is God who preserves his life. It is God who strengthens him in the hour of testing. He is preserved. He is upheld because God has grasped him. And God has strengthened him. And so it is not surprising that after Jesus has been tempted by the devil in the wilderness, hungry, thirsty, and tired, it is the angels who come to minister to him. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when all his disciples have fallen asleep, when he sought their company, when he sought the strength of their companionship, when they had failed, it was Almighty God who sent an angel from heaven in order to sustain, to uphold the Lord Jesus Christ. Upheld because he is the servant of the Most High. Who is Jesus? He is the servant of God, coming into the world to achieve the holy pleasure of God Most High. And in this world, he was upheld by his Father. And then we are told that he is my elect one in whom my soul delights. He is not just the servant of God, he is also the chosen of God. The one that has been selected by God, the one upon whom God has chosen to set his love. The chosen instrument, the chosen vessel in the hand of God. And he is the chosen one because he is the one in whom my soul delights. The one in whom the soul of God the Father in heaven delights. God delights in his Son. And again, you will notice that when Jesus emerged from the water after being baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens opened and there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. This is the Son of my love, and I continue to love him as I loved him from all eternity." And it is interesting that in Isaiah chapter 11 at verse 3, the prophet speaks of the Son loving the Father, the servant loving the Father. And so we see that there is mutual love, there is love from the Father to the Son, and there is love from the Son to the Father. And taking all this together, the Apostle John, in his first chapter and in the first verse, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And literally in the Greek it says, "And the Word was toward God." In other words, there was mutual enjoyment, mutual admiration, and mutual adoration in the Holy Trinity. Love flowing from the Father to the Son and from the Son to the Father. "This is my chosen one, the one in whom my soul delights." And then he goes on to say, "I have put my Spirit upon him." The Spirit of power, the Spirit that enables. It is the Spirit of the living God that rested upon Jesus. And as we read a little earlier, that from the time of his very conception, it was the Holy Spirit who overshadowed the Virgin Mary. And then when he emerges from the water after the baptism of John, there the Holy Spirit descends from heaven in the form of a dove, and it rests upon him. And there for all the world it was to be seen that the Spirit of the Holy One of Israel was dwelling upon Jesus of Nazareth. The servant of God, upheld by him, the chosen of God, delighting in him, the one upon him whom the Spirit of God rested upon. And what was his mission? He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And that's surprising. Surprising because these words of Isaiah were in the first instance written to the Jewish church. And the Jews were expecting a Messiah. The Jews were waiting eagerly for the greater son of David, this great and glorious king who will restore the kingdom of his father, who will usher in a period of peace, security, and blessing. And this Messiah was going to bring justice for them. He was going to bring vengeance upon their enemies, upon the Gentiles, and he was going to be for them. But what is written here is quite different. This Messiah was not only going to be for the Jews, he was also going to be for the Gentiles, for the world. He was going to be for the Jews. We know this because in verse 4 it says, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. Literally in the Hebrew it says, till he has established justice in the land Haaretz. And the land almost always in the Old Testament was a reference to the Jewish people and their inheritance of the promised land. And so the Messiah was to be for the Jews, but he was not only for the Jews. He was for all the world. He was for the Gentiles, the heathen. And I hope that you and I are aware of these things, because Jesus was not British. Jesus was not even Scottish. Jesus was not Western. Jesus was Eastern. He was born a Jew. From all eternity, he is God. But God manifest in the flesh. He was a Jew. But he isn't a savior only for the Jews. He is the savior of all mankind. He is not just the God for the Jews. He is the God of all the earth. There is only one God, the living and the true God, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, and he has given himself a face, and it is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening he invites you and he invites me. You and I are all Gentiles, but he is our God, the only God there is, and he is our Savior, the only Savior that God has provided for his people. And so, speaking of Jesus, the prophet says that he is the servant of God who is upheld by the Most High. He is the chosen of God, in whom God's soul delights. He is the one upon whom the Spirit rests, and his mission is to bring forth justice, both to Jews and to Gentiles, to all the peoples of every culture, of every language group, of every gender, of every place in this world. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Now that word that is translated justice there is the Hebrew word mishpat, and it can be legitimately translated judgment. In fact, the Old Testament often translates it as judgment. That is to say, it refers to the fair and the equal application of the law. In common language, we would speak of this as throwing the book against somebody or throwing the book at somebody. It is the equal and the just application of the law. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to bring judgment and was the judgment of God, so that all the world and all of humanity will be able to see the glory of God even in the righteousness of his judgment. But it seems to me that the better translation of that word is the one that is given to us in our New King James Version, and it is the word justice. It isn't just judgment, it is justice. You see, justice goes beyond the just and the equal and the fair application of the law. It goes beyond what the law demands. It goes beyond the demands of the law in that it shows compassion to the Gentiles. How did I come to that conclusion? Well, Matthew was a Jew, and he was writing to a Jewish audience. And when he gives the record of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us that Mary was found to be with a child because of the power of the working of the Holy Spirit. And she was already engaged to a man called Joseph. And somebody comes to tell Joseph that his fiancée, the lady that he is engaged to, is pregnant with a child. And Joseph is traumatized. He is troubled by what has happened. He concludes that his fiancée has been unfaithful to him, and she has been unfaithful to the promises that she has made to him, his family, her family, and to their community. And so as he is puzzled and deeply and gravely troubled about this thing, the angel appears to him, and the angel says to him, "Do not fear, Joseph. This is conceived by the power of God's Spirit. Take her to be your wife, and the child shall be called Jesus." But notice in between in that narrative, we are told that Joseph was a just man, a man who practiced justice. And because he was a just man, he was reluctant to throw the book at Mary. Instead, he wanted to save her. Instead, he wanted to put her away secretly. He did not just want judgment, he had compassion on her. Remember, if Joseph had reported Mary to the Sanhedrin, they would have applied the law upon her. She would have been condemned. She would have been stoned and put to death. And the baby Jesus would never have been born. He was a just man. He had compassion on her. He wanted to save her. And so he desired to put her away secretly. That was shame. But he wanted to absorb her shame. There was the feeling of guilt in the community. He was going to absorb her guilt. There was indignity in that society. He was going to absorb her indignity. This was one man who had a sense of justice in him. And so he went beyond the demands of the law. He took upon himself the pain and the penalty of the law so that she would be saved from it all. The compassion. But where did Joseph get the sense of justice? Well, I suggest to you, he knew the prophecy of Isaiah, and he knew the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Isaiah speaks of Jesus bringing forth justice to the Gentiles as well as the Jews, it wasn't just the fair and the equal application of the law. It was the expression of compassion for both Jews and Gentiles. What do I mean by that? Well, quite simply this. You see, when he went to the cross, he stood at the judgment hall of Pontius Pilate, and they accused him of blasphemy, of sacrilege, of doing all that he could possibly do wrong against God. And yet, he was blameless, but he did not open his mouth. As a sheep that is led to the shearers is silent, so he was silent in the judgment hall. No protest. And then when they lead him through the streets of Jerusalem, and finally at Golgotha, when they crucified him, there is no resistance. There is no bitterness. There is no wrong word that comes from his lips. Why? Well, for this reason. There in the judgment hall, and there on the cross, he was absorbing to his own body all the power and the evil of sin and of death. And because he absorbed it into his own body, and in his own suffering and in his own death, if you and I are in Christ Jesus today, you and I will no longer have to suffer the shame and the ignominy of sin, the guilt and the dispeace that sin brings, and the death and the eternal death that is the wages of sin. You see, this is not just the equal application of the law. This goes beyond the equal application. All the demands of the law, all the condemnation of the law, Jesus took it upon himself, so that if you and I are in him, then there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the servant of God, the one upheld by him, the chosen of God, the one in whom God delights. It is the Spirit of God that enables and empowers him. And his coming into the world was for this one purpose, to bring forth justice to both Jews and Gentiles. Not just the application of the law, it is the expression of the love of God that we see in the compassion of Jesus Christ. Sir, Madam, I don't know where you are spiritually this evening, but one thing I know. You have a sense of shame, you have a sense of guilt, and you have the fear of death. And that's because you are as human as I am. And that's because you are as sinful as I am. And someday you and I will have to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And someday we will have to reap the wages of our sins. But it doesn't have to be that way. There is a solution to the problem of human sin, and it is to be found at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, What you and I need is justice. And for all its glories, this world can never afford you the wonder that is called divine justice. But you will find it, and you will find it in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus is God, not just for the Jews. He is the God of all people, in all places, in all times. And He is the only Savior of mankind. May God bless His word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And we are singing here verses 32 to 35. Psalm 68 at verse 32. O all ye kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to this King, and that is the King Jesus, for He is Lord that ruleth all, unto Him praises sing. To Him that rides on heavens of heavens, which He of old did found, though He sends out His voice a voice, in might that doth abound. Strength unto God do ye ascribe, for His excellency is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds most high. Thou from thy temple dreadful Lord, Israel's own God is He, who gives His people strength and power. O let God blessed be. In the ancient world, Israel was a reference to the ancient church. But in the New Testament we know that the church is the new Israel of God. And so He is the God of both Jews and Gentiles, of all people, in all places, for all times. Psalm 68 verses 32 to 35, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
Holy Kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to this King, for His Lord that ruleth all, unto Him praise.
Lord our God, as we go out of this place this evening into a new week, we pray that thou wouldst bind thy word to our necks and write its truth upon the tablets of our hearts, that as we go it may guide us, and as we fall asleep it would keep us, and as we awake it would continue to speak to us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Eternal Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest upon you and abide with you all, now and until Jesus comes. Amen.